Oh, thank you, Jess. Some of those songs that we were singing, we're clay, and just to be melded and molded by God, and how great it is to be used by Him, and to also to be in the family of God, and we are all in the family of God together. And I praise the Lord, and I thank the Lord for it. And I thank you for this opportunity, first and foremost, because, as you know, I've been moving into more of a teaching and preaching type of position. And so I'm nervous right now, if you can't tell. That's good, but I am nervous. So I thank you, though, for everybody that's encouraged me and and told me that I'm doing a good job and give me positive words of affirmation and things. So that really helps me. Lesson four in the discipleship program, we're going to be, it's the title, as Jess mentioned, A Personal Relationship with the Lord. And the introductory verse at the top there is John 17:3. We're going to be using a lot of scripture today. I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture. If you may want to turn along and try to find the scripture, but sometimes I may move a little bit too fast for you, so you may not be able to. Or if you don't have your Bibles today, that's fine. Also, you can just follow along and listen. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that's life eternal, that they might know, that we might know God and Jesus Christ, the true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. That's eternal life. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ when we ask Him into our hearts, and we've been reborn, and we have life eternal at that point. We're living with Him. We're going to live with Him eternally, so we better get to know Him, right? If He wants to know us, and He's done everything that He's done for us and sacrificed His life, well, we better spend some time and get to know Him and be influenced and be changed by Him as much as we can. So when we are born again, we are not only saved from our sin, but the Lord wants to begin a close personal relationship with us that will last for eternity. And it's not only that we are saved from our sin, that's just the very beginning. That's just the working grace of God to tell us how much He loves us, because He sacrificed His Son, His only begotten Son, for us. And that's just kind of an introductory, that's the very starting point of where God tells us that He loves us so much that He gave His Son for us, and that all of our sins are washed away. But it's not just to get rid of sin, and that's not the Christian life, is just to see how much I can get rid of sin and not sin. Because if you do that on your own, you'll fall flat on your face. And if you don't do it with God's help, it has to be replaced with God's help. And the Lord wants to begin a personal relationship with you and I. And in that relationship, That's where we begin to prosper, and that's where we begin to be blessed, and that's where we begin to have power over sin, is He living inside of us. Amen. So, first Roman numeral, he says He wants to be close and personal with us. He wants to be close and personal with you and I. He wants to be as close as anything that you can imagine. He wants to be closer than that. It's our primary relationship with Him. Is He wants to draw near to us. It says if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And He's just waiting for you to draw near to Him. He's just waiting for you to come to Him as a son goes to his father, and just fall before Him and get on your knees and just ask Him to be with us, to be with you and help you. And the way this discipleship lesson is formatted is there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different letters, A through G, and it illustrates the relationship that He wants to have through with us, and it shows us the relationship. He wants to be everything to us. He doesn't just want to be our father or just our friend. He wants to be our all in all. He is our all in all, if we'll let Him. He's our Father, our friend, the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the shepherd. He's the physician. And he's the husband of the church. And He wants to be all that to us. So He's not just, He's everything. He's everything that you can imagine. The best friend that you ever had, he is that. And the best counselor that you have ever had, he is that. The best, if you had a good father, maybe some of you had a great earthly father, and he wants to be, and he's that. Not only that, but he is that and some. So he wants to be that in every part of our lives. So we'll look at, first, just back up a little bit and go to James chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. And this is talking about how he wants to be close and personal with us. And it reads, the scripture reads, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Those are some strong words that he wants us to completely submit to him, and he wants us to draw near to him. And I find when we do that, when we completely humble ourselves and say, and we give it all to the Lord, and we say, you know what, I am completely helpless without you. You take the wheel. And when we do that, he draws near to us, and says he gives grace to the humble. And when we remove our pride, and oh, I can do this and I can do that, and I'm so big and tough, and we would say, God, I'm nothing. Lord, use me. And when we do that, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. We need grace. We need forgiveness. We need to be. We need some things to be overlooked. We need God's grace. The first relationship that we're going to look at is the father-son relationship. And I'm going to be reading scripture out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him?" At this point, this is after talking about, usually it happens earlier, but after talking this much, this is where my mouth gets a little dry, so I'm going to take a sip of water. So I'm going to read that again. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, give good things to them that ask him?" We can go to him much like we go to our dad. And remember how we used to ask our dad questions? I used to ask my dad questions all the time. "And Dad, what's this? What's this? What's this?" We'd be driving down the road, and, you know, "How does this work? What's that for?" And God has all the answers. He wants us to come to him and ask him for gifts and ask him for good things. And God will give us those things. And so there you see the father and the son relationship. He wants to be our father. He is our father. In John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So he has given us power. There it tells us right there that he has given us power. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus that is bestowed upon us. And for by grace are you saved through faith. The next letter is the friend relationship. And he wants to relate to us as a friend, as one that has been tempted in all ways, more ways than we have ever been tempted. And he has been down the path many times. He knows where we have been. He knows where we have been, and he can relate to us in that way because he has been that way also down that road. And so he can say, "I've been there." And he can be your best friend. He can say, and he can encourage you, and he can comfort you, and he can say, "You know what? No, I think you're doing this a little bit. You know, you should do this." And He can be that he'll be that best friend to us. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 15 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And he laid down his life for us, and that's the greatest thing that any friend could ever do, would be to put himself in our place. Instead of us dying, he died. And he's that friend. He's that perfect friend who knows us inside and out. So I'm not going to elaborate much on that, really. I don't really have a lot to add to that one too much. Letter C. Letter C is the comforter. The comforter relationship. And the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He sends us the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within us. And I thank God for the Holy Comforter, because you need comfort in this world. Amen. Everybody, we need comfort so much. Every part of the day, I need to be comforted, and I know I can go to him for comfort. I know if I'm struggling in their area, or if I am just having a hard day or a tough day, I know I can go home. I know I can just get alone with God and be comforted, and I can ask for his Holy Spirit to be with me, and he'll comfort me and be with me. And I may not even say anything, but just sit there and ask for his comfort to come and just to just be with me and just permeate every part of my body. John 14, 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And the text reads, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That he may abide with us forever. And he wants to be with us all the time, wherever we go. It's my desire, and I know it's God's will, for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us at all times, wherever we go. And whether it's school or a job or at church you go to your relative's house, wherever you go, bring the Holy Spirit with you and ask the Holy Spirit to be with you and guide you. And because he's the comforter, and he wants to abide with you forever. And sometimes the flesh gets in the way, and sin gets in the way, and negative thoughts or whatever it might be gets in the way of the Spirit abiding in us. And that's where we have to ask him for more grace, and ask him to correct us in certain ways, or die to our flesh. That way he may abide with us always, so he'll be with us everywhere we go. And John chapter 14, verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." We have, as Christians, sometimes we have that glow. We have that glow to us. Sometimes you feel so good. You feel like everything is just going great, and that's the Holy Spirit. And And people notice that, and people just see that. You don't even have to say anything, and people know that, you know, something's going on with this guy or girl. And they see that glow in your face, and they say, you know, he's got something. He's got something, but they don't know where it comes from. But we know. We know that we've been saved. We know what we've been rescued from. And we know that he dwells in us. And John 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he sends the Holy Spirit, and he gives us his Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit to abide in us and be with us. And so that's the comforter relationship. Letter D is the counselor, the counsel relationship. And when we need counseling, we need wise counsel, we need just some instruction, and when we need to hear the truth and hear what's right, and we can go to him for counseling, and he'll counsel us, and he'll give us the right answers, and he'll give us what we need. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I wasn't really sure how long this was. I wasn't really sure what to expect, really, because I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for this. And I have 35 minutes allotted for today, and I was like, there's no way that I'm going to go that long. I thought maybe I was going to go 10 minutes. So we'll see what happens. But I thank the Lord that he's been with me this whole time, even though I just realized that I don't think I've even prayed at the very beginning, which I usually make sure I do that, but I just got right into it. But you know, let's pray right now. Let's just break right here, and let's just pray and ask God to help us, and ask God to he has given us so far, just to be with us in our hearts and teach us and instruct us. And so let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you that you are everything to us. You want to be our Father and our friend and our counselor. You want to be our husband. You want to be our all in all, Lord. You know us better than anybody else knows us, Lord. We don't have to hide anything from you. We thank you that we can come to you in humility, and we can come to you in truth. We can come to you and just be unashamed, Lord. We can come to you naked and unashamed and just lay what's on our heart to you, and talk to you about anything, Lord. And we thank you for that. And I thank you for this time today. I thank you that you have given me the opportunity to teach. And I thank you for all the faithful people that have showed up today. I ask that you would bless them for being here, and that you would work in their hearts. And I ask also that you'd be with us in the rest of this message, and that you would guide me and instruct me, and that it would not be me speaking, Lord, but it would be the Holy Spirit through me. And that you would give us a good day today, a good service, that you would bless our pastor, and that you would just help somebody today, give somebody a truth that they haven't seen before, and that you would encourage and press on everybody's heart how important it is to have a personal relationship with you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're on letter D. D?
Yes.
D, thank you. D, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's good. The wonderful, I like that. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's a short little verse. You may or may not want to turn there. We'll be moving on quickly after that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care and all your burdens. Sometimes we want to carry the burden of the duty that we have as a Christian. And it's such a heavy load to carry God's load, and to carry what is meant to give to the Lord, and just let him work in his timing, instead of trying to do it ourselves and on our own. But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we don't have to carry those burdens. We can just give it to God, and we can trust, and we can know that he's going to work in those things that we give to him. And that's, I'm so thankful for that, because that's something that I've learned, is the burdens that we can take upon ourselves to feel like, because we want to be an impact, because we want to help, because we want to be something for the Lord. We want to do it, but you can have all the will in the world to do something, but if you don't have God's help, it's nothing. It's nothing without him. And letter E, the shepherd and the sheep relationship. I'm going to read, I'm going to take my Bible here and read out of Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And just like a shepherd knows his sheep, just like a shepherd knows every one of his sheep, even though they all look the same, he knows them because he's been around them. He's been around them all the time, and they are his. And we have a shepherd. We have Jesus Christ, and we are his. And he knows us individually, and he wants to shepherd us in the right direction. He wants to say, no, turn this way, go that way. There's the open gate right there. You go that way, Jesse. You do this. You do that. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's where he's going to lead us. He says, lie down here in the nice green pastures, this nice field. I love just lying down on a fresh, nice field of green grass. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. There's no white water. There's no white water rafting. And he brings us out of those white waters. But he brings us, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though we walk through life's troubles, and there's plenty of them, and there's plenty of things that we can get upset about, or we can get that can really just upset us and get us all worked up, but the rod and the staff of God that a a shepherd, the same way a shepherd has his rod and takes the sheep by the neck and pulls them, go this way. You know, sometimes that God has to do that with us. And and also John chapter 10, verse 11 through 16. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 16. I think you guys have this written down. All these verses, I think they are written down. And and how are we doing? I never thought I'd say this, but how are we doing on time? Never thought I'd have to go. Pretty good? 10 About 10 minutes? Okay, thank you. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. He's not the shepherd and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and of one shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A shepherd that knows his sheep, he knows how to direct them. They know his voice. But when a different shepherd that is not the original shepherd, not the regular shepherd comes along, a hireling, the sheep don't know his voice. But we don't have a hireling. We have a shepherd that knows us, and he's been with us from the very beginning. And he's always going to be with us, and he's always going to protect us from the wolf. He's always going to protect us from the wicked one, and he's always going to guide us. And he'll lay down his life for us. And I'm moving on to letter F, the physician, the patient relationship. Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They that are sick. All of us have been sick. We've needed a physician. We've needed some healing. Most of the time it's our soul that needs fixing. It's our soul that needs help. It's our soul that needs surgery. And all of us have received that when we have received Jesus Christ. And because we are sick, because that sin made us sick. But Jesus heals. Jesus heals us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I'll move along a little bit just so I can get through it all. Letter G, the bridegroom and bride relationship, or the husband and the wife relationship, is Christ and the church. We are the church is the bride of Christ. And I don't think I'm going to read, I'm not going to read all the scripture. There's a lot of scripture in this one. So I'm going to go straight to, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26 says, wives, submit to yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. For husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And we are to submit, be in subjection to Christ, and we are to put ourselves, submit and be in subjection, to put ourselves lower than him, and let him reign in our lives. So Roman numeral, move on to Roman numeral number 3. And he sought you when you were lost. When we were lost, it says no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. He has been seeking us. He has been seeking us the whole time when we were lost. He has been seeking us, and he's been speaking to us, maybe faint. But he has sought us, and we didn't go looking for him, but he loves us so much that he came looking for us. We were the lost ones, but because he came looking for us, now we're found. And Luke chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that kind of sums it up right there. He rejoices in the ones that are lost, not in the ones that are already here with him. He loves us. He loves us just as much. He loves everybody just as much. But he really gets excited about that one that comes back. That one that comes back to the Lord, and that one that's lost. He really gets excited. And just as in the story of the prodigal son, when the father, when the son came back from his filthiness and went back to his father, and the father embraced him and put a robe on him and cooked him a great meal. And that's what God does to us when we come to him, when we are lost. He wants to just give us everything and say, this is your inheritance. Roman numeral number 5, he says that he personally cares for you. And with this last point here, then we'll just close up in prayer. And I'm not sure if we have some homework that we want to go over. I think Travis is going to come up and talk to us about that. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many, many sparrows. We are of much, much value to him. And he personally cares for us, and he personally wants a relationship with us. And that's what this whole lesson is about, just a personal relationship. And then you see in some of the different points of how our relationships here on earth, how they relate. He wants to be our everything, our all in all. From our father all the way to our friend and our counselor. And so just draw close to him, and I just encourage you to draw close to him and enter into a relationship with him, because he is good and he loves you and he has the very best for us. So with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord. It's been a blessing. It has been a blessing, Father. I thank you so much for everybody that's come today. I ask that you would, the seeds that were planted today, Lord, that you would keep them away from the wicked one, Lord. And that we would leave today, Lord, with more of a desire and more of a hunger to have a relationship with you. And I ask that you would just draw close to everybody here, Lord. Draw close to everybody and just speak to them and let them know that you want a relationship with them. And I ask you that you would bless everybody throughout this day and bless our pastor on this day and everybody that's teaching today. And let your Holy Spirit just be with us, the Comforter. Just be with us and instruct us. Be our shepherd. Be our friend. Be our father. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.